This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, yeah. The number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Nick Markakis. It feels like they figured out this roster, and they would have been just fine without him.
How many times have you had a chance to play Augusta National?
You know, I have never played Augusta National.
What?
I was just a young football coach, and I couldn't imagine why anybody would want to go play golf when they're just starting to play football.
Jimmy from LinkedIn.
My question to you guys, would you be okay, yeah man, no man, living down the street from Terry Clark?
Hell no.
No.
Hell no. To the no, no, no.
No. No.
Hell no.
No.
God.
This is so frustrating.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're having a great Friday. We certainly are. The Masters has suspended play for the day due to daylight. We'll get you caught up on the leaderboard coming up. We're going to talk to Dave Archer in about 15 minutes from now in regards to the Falcons and what's going on in the NFL this weekend. No game for the Falcons. Obviously, it's a bye week. But, Mike, it is going to be weird with, again, no Georgia Tech, no Georgia. By no doing of their own, just with these coronavirus positive tests that have postponed or suspended these games that are supposed to be played this week. We've been talking a lot about that here on the program and what college football does moving forward. They're going to have to make some big decisions. I think, you know, again, the integrity of the season, unless you just say, we're going to play out these games and because of this year, we're not going to have a champion. But, Mike, I don't see that happening.
No, as we said, we'll talk about it with Dave Archer, too, get his take on it. But I just, it's hard because, as we, if you heard the conversation with Charles Barkley earlier, the NCAA just does not get involved in this stuff. It's like the Power Five are truly autonomous, just like we saw back in August when we, you know, were kind of blindsided by, you know, the Big Ten saying we're not going to play. At first, it was out of conference, and then it was not going to play. And then the SEC said we're going to play, but without a conference, and that kind of blindsided the ACC. So I don't know if there's even better communication, you know, a few months later, but the College Football Playoff Committee is the guys that will pick the Final Four. But you're telling me you're going to take an undefeated team like a Cincinnati or BYU for a team like Ohio State that might have just two wins, three wins? Can't do that.
Nope.
But then again, it's a promotion. Again, this is not like, but it's not fair. That's right. It's a TV show. That's all the College Football Playoff Committee is, Carl. They're doing the best they can to generate the most ratings.
Yeah.
You don't get a slab of wood with a whoosh NCAA logo when you win the championship. They have their own trophy.
No, you're right. And they try to create more interesting conversation for us. And I'm not saying me and you, but the general public for college football fans. Cincinnati, East Carolina plays Cincinnati. Cincinnati will be 7-0. East Carolina's 1-5, guys, in the American Conference. Cincinnati's the best team in that conference. So they will be after this weekend. As a matter of fact, they play tonight, I think, Mike. They'll be 7-0. And that is one team that I mentioned in things that I learned last week on Twitter on Sunday morning, that you can't just disrespect the fact, oh, they're in the American Conference. Again, if this is going to be based on teams that are deserving, they're going to be in the conversation. But there are games that are going to be played this weekend. I just don't know if they're your teams or you're interested, you know, but in the ACC, Miami, Virginia Tech. Indiana, again, is 3-0 in the Big Ten. They have Michigan State this weekend at noon on Saturday. Indiana might be the surprise team to come out of the Big Ten. The problem is Maryland was playing well, and they were supposed to play Ohio State this weekend. That's not going to happen now. Mm. So you will just have that doubt, even if Maryland runs the table. Well, they didn't play Ohio State, and that becomes the problem.
How are you going to figure this mess out? I don't know. First things first, as we said, don't kill the messenger again, guys. I'm, you know me, live and let live, but be safe, follow protocols. Now that we got the disclaimer out of the way, the news is freaking brutal, okay, around the world. I mean, whether or not you take it seriously or don't, I mean, it is what it is, and you know me. But it's tough to get your head around how we're not, based on just how this last week went, what's going to change in 7 days? For the other games to get played,
not enough. There will be maybe change, but not enough.
Well, I mean, and there's some folks, as we said, short of a vaccine that, and again, don't know what the effectiveness rate is going to be on that. Not to mention, some folks won't even take it. But this is why, you know, at some point, a bubble. You can't. The only way. What are you going to do now? You're going to say, okay, we've already described. Yeah, Ohio State, you've played like two games, but guess what? We're going to bubble you now, and there's no way to do this fair and equitably about the landscape of college football. This was one of those years where the smaller schools really deserve a chance at the big table.
The mistake, I think you mentioned it, was not starting earlier.
Right.
And that's across the board. The problem there was, I think there was still so much uncertainty, Mike, about where this thing was going. So you remember, if you go back, and we're going to get to the top 3 at 6 here in a minute, let you hear from Freddie Freeman, our MVP. But if you go back to April, okay, so a month after, everybody we were talking to in the world of sports kept saying, well, time's on our side. Everybody. NBA was saying it. NFL was certainly saying it. College football was like, well, this thing, you know, by September we should be fine. Time's on our side. And then we got to that moment of decision where it was July. And I talked about it. You had to know by July what you were doing. And there was still so much uncertainty that these conferences and these conference commissioners and the presidents, they didn't know what they wanted to do. And then when it came time, all right, we're not going to play. Well, wait a minute. They're going to play, so we're going to play. It was so convoluted. Here's what should be learned. If this is, God help us, if this is still here, okay, when we roll back around to the spring and we are still dealing with it like we are now, and let's just say no. Vaccine. We know we can do this, but there has to be a plan implemented, and it has to be carried out, Mike, in a way that they know and feel comfortable. Like, there was so much indecision. Right. Let's learn from this year in the world of sports. NBA knows they can finish their season, but these other sports that have been challenged, they've got to have a plan moving forward. And you can't go into 2021 going, well, it'll be gone by April. We don't know that.
Right. Again, I know there was concern. I will say this. We had talked about, you know, there was all the doom and gloom for the fall, and now you can see where this is coming from. A lot of the medical experts said we were going to see spikes in cases. And because of like the 4th of July and spring break, some of the things, I guess that's why some of the schools felt. Again, we also found out the Big Ten was getting some erroneous information about myocarditis. It was completely BS because you had a doctor who couldn't read a chart. You know, so I mean, everybody screwed the pooch on this. Yes, in hindsight now, the smart play would have been to start as normal, as regular, or maybe even push it up a few weeks. But it's water under the bridge. So now you're just trying to salvage. And you know, because there's so much money involved and the schools need their piece of the action, they'll do whatever they can do to fix this.
That's the other part. That's the undeniable part of this. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Follow us. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 92.9. And, of course, you can always tweet at us. And text us as well on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. We'd love to hear your thoughts on how you might try to fix this, if you can, or what the plan might be. With that, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Brought to you by Johnson and Alday Injury Attorneys. That's Johnson Alday. One word, ALDAY.com. Go there for more information. Let's start first with the Masters, Mike. Play is over. Obviously, nightfall is here. Mm-hmm. They will resume play and finish the second round in the morning. And then the third round, guys, and we'll find out who makes the cut and all that stuff. And that's pretty much been determined. But they'll finish, and then third round action will start tomorrow early afternoon or whatever, midday, But what's it look like right now?
Well, that kind of scenario really worked well for Dustin Johnson. You know, world number one, he shot a 65 as he finishes round today, and then he's got a 70. So he's at 9 under. Justin Thomas, who's won a major before, he goes 3 under today for 9 under. I mentioned Smith, the young man from Australia, Cameron Smith, his third Masters. And this dude has put together an amazing round. He was 4 under today. But again, Abraham Answer. I've talked about this cat before. I like the cut of his jib, Carl. He's a young guy who likes to throw down, have some fun. He's at 5 under for the day, 9 under. This is a guy who's got his own brand of tequila, and you know, just a cool dude. He's into cars. I like him. Tiger Woods, he did not get to complete his round today, but Tiger is even par. He birdied 2, bogeyed 3, kind of grinded today. Phil Mickelson, he got his round in. He shot a 72 under. Phil Mickelson is 5 under, Carl, just 4 strokes back.
Yeah, he's in the hunt. I mean, to me, if you're 5 under or better, obviously you're in the hunt.
And by the way, all these guys, Koepka's 5 under, Xander Schauffele 6 under, Oosthuizen, who's won this, 7 under, Willett, who's won this before, 7 under, John Rahm at 8 under. So all it's going to be a fan. Even though we don't have football, this could be an amazing weekend with some great competition.
No doubt about it. Freddie Freeman wins the MVP. If you're not aware of that by now, I don't know where you've been, but the first Brave to do it in 20 years. Let's hear from Freddie talking about winning this award.
To have a season like this after how it started off, you know, it's pretty amazing. I'm pretty excited, pretty happy, it's amazing. It's hard to put into words how I feel right now.
By the way, and I say this, everybody likes Freddie. He's just a nice guy. You know, he plays the way the game needs to be played. But, you know, when asked about who he's heard from, he's like, pretty much everybody. And it has to do with the way that he plays the game, but also how he treats people. Well-liked guy in the circles of baseball and in the world of sports. So congratulations again to Freddie. We're excited about it. As Mike and I have been saying all day, Braves, let's build on it. Let's help Freddie and Acuna and Albies and Freed and Soroka and Dansby. Let's make sure that we go get the pitching we need to help this team get over the hump.
Also, guys, big story today in baseball. The Marlins, Carl, have hired the first ever woman as a general manager.
Yeah, Kim Ng is really a success story when you talk about getting into baseball. First of all, we know this, and this is not sexist, just is just what it is. Traditionally has been a man's world. And to get into it and to stick and stay and to be in it, and now is, you know, the highest ranking female baseball executive, as she was an assistant general manager for the Yankees and the Dodgers, worked on those teams that made the playoffs 8 times and won 3 World Series. And now she gets a chance, Mike, to run a team. She's 51 years old. I just said, you know, I hope this opens doors for other women who are interested and say, you know what, I can run a team, and I need that opportunity. She's right. Put in the work, but this speaks volumes also for Derek Jeter, who's the CEO of the Marlins, to say, it doesn't matter what you look like or where you come from. If you can do the job, we're going to hire you, and she has done a hell of a job. So his quote was, her leadership of our baseball operation team will play a major role towards our paths of success, sustained success.
Hey, man, great story. 30 years in the show, so she deserves her shot. She's got it. Good job, Derek Jeter, by the way. He's a biracial angel. Also, Carl, we'll ask Arch about it, but Paul Hornung, the golden boy, passes away at age 84, Notre Dame legend. I'll tell you a story later. I got the chance to meet him at the Super Bowl here in Atlanta years ago, but Paul Hornung, an iconic figure for Vince Lombardi's Packers, passes away at the age of 84, and boy, Carl, as you like to say, he got it in.
Boy, did he. He could drink. Hey, coming up, Dave Archer, analyst for Atlanta Falcons. He will join us next here on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We get a chance to visit with Dave Archer, the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. Now, there is no Falcon game this week, bye week.
We can talk stuff with Arch.
Absolutely. But Arch, we've been talking a lot this week about not only the makeup of this team, grading some of the guys midway through the season, and talking about, you know, what the goal and the task is going to be in front of Raheem Morris as we get back to work against the Saints. What's been the biggest impression you've gotten since the coaching change has taken place?
Well, certainly the heightened awareness of the NFL stands for not for long, because obviously the coach is gone and the GM's gone and players can be gone. Tack McKinley's gone. I mean, there's a if you're not kind of willing to buy in and do the one for all for one thing, then you're probably going to be gone. And if you don't do it at a high level, you're going to be gone. So I think you're put on notice. And so what's happened is I think that guys have responded to that. Raheem's done a good job of changing up their schedule a little bit. Sometimes, you know, players get caught in a rut or at least get used to a schedule where, you know, this is the time you go lift and this is the time you're in the special teams meeting and this is when the team meeting is. You switch that up a little bit, it kind of rattles the cage a little bit, and you think, well, what's going on? You know, and you start kind of looking around a little bit. And I think Raheem's done some of that, and he's also done a really good job defensively, he and Jeff Ulbrich, of changing some looks, and they've settled into a personality that I think is going to suit him well, especially to play the Saints with. In this personality, we're going to come up and we're going to bump and run your receivers, and we're going to try to bring more than you can block, and we're going to try to bring them when you don't know where they're coming from. And they've done a good job of that the last 4 weeks, albeit they've lost one of the games, and Raheem's probably to blame for the Detroit loss, but they played well defensively. You take away that final drive against Detroit, and they haven't really given up much on defense in four straight games, and that's pretty impressive.
It is the Idaho Rail Splitter. Dave Archer with us here, guys, on a Friday. Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Dial 678-ESOG now. I love the way they're using Gurley. I mean, sometimes, Arch, the running game, it does seem like it's pulling, you know, like literally pulling hair out to get things rolling, get some traction. But got to be amazed, though. I mean, if we had said, as we said earlier in the week, to have this, the numbers where Gurley's like second or third in touchdowns in the league and have an impact in the red zone.
Well, that's where I thought he would have his impact, Mike. We talked, you guys asked me, where do you think Gurley's going to impact his football team? And I told you all the way back in August that I think his biggest impact will be in the red zone. I don't think you're looking at a guy that's going to run for 1,500 yards. But I think when you got a 6'1", 225-pound back that has a nose for the end zone, the guy came in with 43 rushing touchdowns in the last three seasons, but prior to this year, and bulk of those came in the red zone. Atlanta, as a team, had 30 coming into the year for the last 3 years. So he had 13 more by himself. And so he has now pushed the ball across nine times. Eight of those have come from the red zone. You know, you had the 135-yard run against Carolina a couple of weeks ago. Everything else is red zone power running in the end zone. We saw it happen again this weekend. So you're right. It really has affected the game where I thought he would. And then you sprinkle in Brian Hill, and they've been a nice combination. If you can kind of get somewhere around that 100 yards, 110 yards on the ground, now you've got a real problem because of the perimeter problems. Perimeter guys you have to defend, and you got to spend some resources to stop the run, and you got those guys on the outside that are singled. It creates issues. Now, Atlanta's got to be better in the red zone, Mike. They're moving the football 20-20. But you're just 4-for-10 in the last two games in the red zone. Mm. Now, strangely enough, you've been able to win both football games, but that's not going to win games. If you score at the clip you want to, at 65-70% of the time, that's 70 points you put on the board as opposed to 40 points you put on the board. Think how much easier that's going to be on your defense if you're getting it done in the red zone.
Dave Archer joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're talking Falcons, guys. So how important is Calvin Ridley? We missed him last week, but I do think if this team is going to get on a run, as they might, Calvin Ridley being healthy and being out there is very important, Arch.
Yeah, I agree with you, Carl, and Cal really affects the game down in the red zone as well. We know how good he's been at putting the ball in the end zone. He's got a knack for it. Ryan likes him down there. Whenever you get a blend with a quarterback and putting the ball in the end zone like Calvin's had with Matt Ryan, that's a big loss. And really, you know, nobody's really stepped up to take that mantle when he's not in the football game. You'd hope that Hayden Hurst would do that. It looks like it's starting to come together, guys, with Hayden Hurst. He's really caught the ball well over the last 3 weeks and really starting to blend together with his quarterback. I think he begins to surface as some red zone possibilities as well as in the field. But I think, you know, thinking about scoring points, because they can move it to 20-20 as good as anybody, if not better than anybody in the league. But do you finish? And who are those finishers? Calvin Ridley is one of those finishers.
Right. The Carolina game the other night, that was one of those games where same thing. Early on, I was like, dang, we just can't get the traction in the red zone. Remember the Cowboys game, Hayden Hurst? It just seemed like And the throw in Minnesota, you know, when I guess Cutter, you know, goes, you know, very aggressive, and Raheem told us, he said, yeah, man, there was, everyone knew it's balls to the wall. That's when they get Hayden Hurst. The guy's a playmaker. I know he's kind of what we expected. So do you forget about Hooper? Is he doing enough in the run blocking, everything else you need to do as a tight end?
Well, I think he's been serviceable, Mike. I don't think he's been as good as I thought he was going to be run blocking. With his background at South Carolina and how they like to run the ball at South Carolina, I thought he would have a little bit more of an impact in the run game. And that might be, some of it might be the same reason why it's taken a while for him to take effect as a pass receiver. He just hadn't had a chance to blend into the offense, so it's taken some time. With no offseason, no spring stuff, no OTAs, I think it's affected some players. He certainly probably has been affected by that some. But I think he's really starting to, he's on the come now, and which is when you need him, because you're going to have to make some kind of closing run like we've never seen before to get back into things. Thankfully, you got the two teams four times that you need to beat to make that happen.
Arch, tell me, this was my analysis of last week, and this is concerning heading against the Saints and maybe even Tom Brady. In the second half of that game, Drew Lock took more chances down the field. He did try to challenge our DBs. He went after Oliver a little bit more. He challenged Terrell, and AJ's been great. But if you're Breeze, you're looking at that, and you're still saying this is a fairly young secondary, I think I can get some plays on them. Where do they have to improve?
Well, they've got to be. If they're going to play this aggressive style, Carl, they're going to have to be better at the line of scrimmage with their hands. I think that we have a tendency to turn and run. I'd like to see him more physical. I think that A.J. Terrell is the best at doing it. I think that Kendall Sheffield has some abilities to do it. He's willing to put his hands on the receiver. Some of these guys are unwilling to try to jam because if they miss, and we saw it happen with Isaiah Oliver a number of times his first year, if he missed the jam, the guys ran by him. It's happened to him again this year. Jerry Jeudy made Kendall Sheffield miss on a play on the jam, and he got in behind. And see, that's the biggest fear. If you got man coverage, you're playing tight. If he wins at the line of scrimmage, now it's a quick throw and it's an explosion play or a touchdown if you get beat. So, but I do like, and I was stunned. I don't know about you guys. I was surprised that we got into that final drive and they're up bump and run and they're still coming. And so that's what I like about the fact that, you know what, they didn't change their personality. They didn't get scared because we played that soft-ass zone against Denver or against Detroit,
right.
And they went right down the field and threw it over our top of our head and won the football game. I said, you know what? That's not our best thing. Our DBs are better up close and tight, and we're bringing extra guys, and you could pick one guy out. Maybe you make a throw, but I'm going to hit you in the mouth when you make the throw. I like that aggressiveness, and I think that's what Raheem has switched to defensively.
It is a Dave Archer, guys, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Dial 678-ESOG now and fix your basement. Hey, Carl and I were talking in the Falcon Report today, kind of like, we're past halfway, but talking about the rookies. I know that Carpenter has solidified the left guard spot, but when Hennessy's been out there, what do you think of Hennessy? And what do you think of Marlon Davidson, some of the guys that we picked up this year in the draft?
Well, Marlon Davidson is a lot like the guy that had a birthday a couple of days ago, Mike, Claude Rains. We haven't seen him. You know, he's the invisible man. We haven't seen Marlon Davidson. So hopefully we can get him on the field. He's been a little banged up, had some issues with the COVID thing. Hopefully we can get Marlon on the field and see what he can do. Hennessy, a little bit of an incomplete there. I've seen him in games where he's gotten blown off the ball a little bit, knocked back. I think that's just because of lack of play time. I think he will round into a pretty good player. I think ultimately he's your center as we move forward a year or two down the road, depending on what happens with Alex Mack. But Carpenter, he's one of those guys that has played really well, Mike. I thought last year he and Jamon Brown were just kind of collecting a paycheck, and he hasn't done that this year. I thought he's done a really nice job at that left guard spot. So, and he's made Hennessy stay on the bench because of his play. So I think you got a couple of good young guys there, but it's an incomplete, Mike. We just haven't seen him enough.
Matt Ryan's playing well. He's not in the conversation, obviously, for MVP. I do that. I think that's partly due to the record. But when you look at his numbers, Arch, I'm going, okay. You know, he's put up a bunch of yards. He's got touchdowns. His interceptions are down. He's playing well. How much of this is going to be on his shoulders here in the second half of the season?
Well, you know, offensively, Carl, this offense centers around, as much as we want to say, hey, we want to run the football and blow people off, that's not what this offense is. This offense is Matt Ryan dropping back and distributing to outstanding receivers on the perimeter, a tight end that's coming on. And so it's all of it's going to be on Matt. And what can you do? And he it really weighs on him their ineffectiveness recently in the red zone, really during the year. There's been a number of times where they've been effective in the red zone, so that's weighing on him. I had a chance to speak with him privately here over the last few days, and that's something he's really working on and concentrating on. How do we get better down there? How do I make throws? He says he's missed some guys, and we're looking at tape. He wants to get back to making sure he gets through his reads properly and finds guys that are open and gets them the football and not predetermine where the football is going to go. So, yeah, he's taking the onus on himself, and rightly so. He's the franchise, the face of the franchise, and as Matt Ryan goes, so will this team go.
All right, boss, before we cut you loose, I know you're a big golfer. What'd you like today at the Masters? Who do you like to finish off this sucker, man? You like DJ? I mean, I'd love to see my big galoot, John Rahm, get it done, but it looks like Justin Thomas is dialed in. Who do you like, man?
Yeah, my guy, Mike, I picked him on Wednesday. Somebody asked me this question. I picked Xander Schauffele. I just think Schauffele, yep, he's one of those guys that has that complete game. He was in the mix a year ago. Remember kind of Molinari kind of threw up on themselves late in the round, and
right,
and Tiger was able to win the round. And obviously, I'd love to see Tiger win. I think it'd be unbelievable. He's the last guy to go back to back, I think, and it would be cool to see him get his sixth green jacket tie Jack. That would be pretty cool. But no, it's going to be a fun race. They're playing darts, man. It's such a soft golf course, man. They're throwing it right at the flag. They don't have to worry about the ball going over the green. They're playing darts, so this is going to be a high scoring affair, a low scoring affair, however you want to judge it. But it should be a fun race down to the wire.
How's your game, my man?
My game is not like throwing darts, Carl. It's like throwing the ball wow into the ocean, because my ball ends up in the water often, and you can't play from the water.
Oh, man. Are you doing any college football? Are you off this weekend?
I'm not doing any college football. I've kind of taken a back seat and decided I didn't want to travel. I don't want to put my family in harm's way or any of that kind of stuff. It's such right a screwy year with that, and I miss doing the games. I miss the – and I certainly – It's been kind of nice to not go, because you miss the crowds. I mean, these college football venues with nobody in them. I mean, I watched the game the other day in the Big House with Michigan playing, and Michigan's mm-hmm playing brutal with khaki pants. But I mean, there's yeah nobody in the stands. I mean, that yeah place right looks like the Grand Canyon. So no, I'm sitting and watching at home with you guys.
Hey, man, the game winner is about Manly man. Paul Horning passed away at 84. You ever run into the Golden Boy in your travels?
No, but I've seen – who was the guy – I'm trying to – his name is escaping me right now. Anderson, last – Bobby – not Bobby Anderson. Donnie Anderson, the Golden Palomino. I spent some time with the Golden Palomino, left-handed golfer, great dude, drink a beer while he's in the middle of his swing. I've never seen a guy do it, but he can drink a beer while he's swinging his golf club.
Wow. All right, because that's going to be our game winner tonight. My dad's guy was Paul Horning. We got a chance to hang out with him, Carl, at the Super Bowl when the Titans lost to the Rams. And I went up to Paul Horning. I said, "You're my dad's favorite player, man." I go, he'd be going bananas if he could meet you. He's up in heaven. He goes, "Well, then make it a double." I bought him a drink.
Well, one other guy I'll tell you before I get off. I know you guys got to catch a break here. But I shook hands. I got to know Johnny Bench really well. And I shook hands with Johnny Bench. And when you shake hands with Johnny Bench, you just kind of shake his index finger. His hands are gigantic. So you like reach over and grab his index finger like a little kid and shake his hand. But, yeah, Johnny Bench, pretty cool as well.
Cool, man. All right, Arch, have a great weekend, man. That's Dave, brought to you by our buddies at ESO.
Good stuff, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.